Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode on the Product Led Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about how to design a self-managing company, which is really fascinating because a lot of founders, myself included, wear way too many hats. And we need to fire them from a lot of different hats. And also, when it comes to your team, they're probably wearing a ton of hats. So when it comes to designing a self-managing company, the main goal here is how do we really design your company in such a way where everybody is in a role where they are doing exactly what they're built to do. They're excited to do it. They're the right person, the right seat. And you can finally just get up to the CEO hat. And that's all you're doing within the business. And so in this podcast, that's exactly where we're going through and breaking down exactly how to do it and how to think through how to do this in your business. So here I have Laura, our director of content, who's going to be going through this with me as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Wes. And before we start, I just want to lay out that this is part of the team component of the product-led system, which is a system that we use to scale a multi-million dollar business without a sales team. So I'm really excited to talk about this. Now, before we dive into the specifics, maybe you can talk about what it actually means to be a self-managed company and what the benefits of that are.
Totally. The biggest one is self-managing in itself, where it's, hey, the business could, if you were to take 4-week vacation, it could run without you, but more importantly, it could grow without you. And so the main kind of name of the game here is resilience. So is your company resilient? If your founder or CEO of the company got hit by a bus, heaven forbid, would this company survive with them? And that's the really true test here. I'm not saying you're going to get hit by a bus, and I hope that never happens to anybody listening to this, but what would happen to your company? And so most early stage companies, that would be detrimental impact to that business. And so to build something sustainable, self-managing, you need to get to that next level and actually have some redundancies, good redundancies in the business where there's no kind of key man, woman risk on that end. And you want to actually have that exitable asset where it doesn't mean you have to exit this business if you truly enjoy what you do, but you could exit it even if that is just for a long vacation at the end of the day.
I love that. And what I do want to just add that last week we talked about an accountability chart. That accountability chart is kind of a base for what we're talking about today. So if you haven't done that yet, I would really highly recommend you doing that. And before we even go into the specifics, maybe we could just get on the same page about what an accountability chart is and how it's going to bring a lot of clarity moving forward into building a self-managing company.
Yeah, absolutely. So last week, if you followed along on the podcast, we built out that exact accountability chart for what that looks like for your current team. And so one of the main differentiators between accountability chart and an org chart is in an accountability chart, you can have the same person many times. You just break them down into, okay, how many hats are you wearing? So an example, Laura's doing director of content. That's a hat. But right now she's interim, you know, head of marketing when it comes to launching our upcoming programs and everything else. And so you break down all of those hats for everybody. And so that's what you do for the accountability chart. How that helps you when it comes to building this self-managing company is you can then see, okay, here's where we are today. And then it can open up the question of where do we want to go? And I don't know if you want me to jump into the levels, Laura, right now, or if you wanted to touch on one or two things before we do that.
If we could just touch on how the accountability chart is going to really map out your hires and help you decide that, because I do think that's an important part of building this self-managing company.
Yeah, for sure. So that accountability chart, you map out all those kind of positions of what it looks like for your company right now. And then what you're going to try and do is see like where are the gaps, because you might have one person where they are doing five different things and you can rate them. I use different colors for the labels. The actual color doesn't matter, but let's say it's yellow for somebody who they're interiming in that specific role. They're wearing that hat, playing a great part of the team, but that's not really where their heart and soul is, but they're doing that for a short period of time. So that would be something where like, this is a good opportunity for us to eventually have somebody in that seat, but not right now. And red is, okay, we don't have anybody in the seat. It's everybody's tossing in. Nobody likes it. It's draining everybody's energy. So that would be something where it's like, okay, red hot, we have to address that right away. And then green, they absolutely love this role. They're hitting their metrics. They're growing. They're getting better and better at their craft. They're, you know, hitting your core values, everything else. They have their standards. So that's really how you kind of map it out. And that is the foundation for what we're going to be talking about next.
Perfect. Okay. So yeah, what we're going to be talking about next is what Wes mentioned is these levels. And you can maybe, well, actually, Wes, why don't you explain it? Because you'll, if this is your brain, and I think that you'll be able to explain it a little bit better than me.
Sure. So the way I like to think about everything is, how do you gamify it and all that stuff? So I love levels. So level one is when you think about your current business, level one for your accountability chart might be something like, you have no specialized positions on your founder's hat. For instance, right now in the company, I'm doing a bit of the product marketing. I love actually writing the first draft of whether it's a new program, it's a new page or something like that, website. I'm still holding on to that. I probably shouldn't. But level one is you don't do that as a founder. You have no specialized positions on your plate. Now, level two is you do not have any director or heads of position levels on your plate as the founder. And so that's really, really important, because a lot of times founders will hold on to whatever they like most. And that's actually a lot of times what ends up plateauing the business or holding it back, because they haven't found somebody better to do that role, and they're still holding on to a lot of other specific roles. And so that's level two. You don't have any of those director heads of positions. Then the third level is you're the COO and the COO. So you're managing the day-to-day and the vision for the business. So this is a great place to be as a business, but there's still too much happening. So if you try to go on a vacation, everything kind of runs through you. A lot of times if you take a vacation at this stage, what will happen is the business just doesn't grow, or it doesn't grow that fast, because they're missing the driver, who is that CEO. Is okay, let's manage the day-to-day and improve on this. And so that's level three. The fourth level is where you're just the CEO. That's all you do in the business. That is the only hat you wear. You're the visionary. You're launching strategic projects inside this business, and you're really setting the direction, the future, the strategy for the business. Now, the last level is when you're just the executive chairman, advisor for this business. And so you have exited the business in a way where you have a CEO replace you, and you are just the chairman, the advisor of this company. And so what we're going to be talking about today is really about, how do you get to the level four, where I know everybody will talk about, like, how do you exit your business? How do you do that? But I think level four is probably where you're going to get the most leverage and the most benefits. So when we talk about self-managed company, we're going to be talking about, okay, how do you at least get to level four, which is going to put you in a really good place to eventually fire yourself from level four into level five. So that's what we're going to dig into today.
Awesome. And I'm actually just really curious, how long does it take typically to get from level one to level four? I'm sure it depends, but curious what you think.
Yeah, it really depends on the founder's experience. So if it's a first-time founder, a lot of the ones, even one of the most recent ones, which we helped exit the company, that was, it took them about 12 years in that first business. And so it could be much faster. I mean, if you exit that business a lot quicker and everything else, that, but it really depends on how quickly you move through these levels. And I think what actually holds a lot of founders back is they don't know about these levels and they don't think about them that much. And then, like, oh yeah, I'm still doing the kind of specialist style role, but I'm not really leaning into more of the executive kind of leadership roles and actually replacing myself in some of those more key roles too. So you can do it much faster, but it really depends how quickly you apply this.
That makes sense. Okay. So in order to get to level four, what do we need to look at as a founder?
Yes. So these are core questions. I want you to just think about, if you've got to pause this podcast, that's fine. First question is, which level are you at now? So are you at level one, where you're doing still some specialized positions in the business? Are you holding on to a lot of director heads of positions? Are you the CEO and integrator of the business? Level three, are you just the CEO already? I mean, great place. Or is it just level five, where it's, okay, you're the executive chairman, advisor of the business. So ask yourself where you're right now, and then ask yourself, where do you want to be by the end of this year? What does actually be realistic for you and your business? And really try and think about, what is holding you back from getting to the next level? Sometimes it's control for founders. It's like, oh, perfectionism, I have to do this. It's, you know, hard to let go of certain things. And so really kind of question yourself, what is preventing you from doing it? Because there's a lot of benefit when you get to that level four stage, but what might be holding you back? Is the business not at the right stage at this point? Or is there other things that are holding you back? So I just take a few minutes and really answer those specific questions, is that will help you think through what might be blocking you from solving this.
And as Wes kind of alluded to before, if you have that accountability chart mapped out and you've color coded it, you're going to see really clearly how many hats you do wear, and you will see really clearly which ones you can replace or where the most opportunity lies, I guess. So just to recap that, what's the next step after that, and what should they be looking at?
Yeah. So before you just start designing, what does this self-managing company look like? There's a few questions that I really recommend answering. The first one is, what do you think is the revenue range you would have to be at to get to that point? So this is a really fun exercise when you use the next few parts, where it's, now, how many employees do you think you'd have to have in order to fill those core seats? Now, if you built out that accountability chart, you'll have a much better idea, because then it's all those red ones, those yellow ones, those will probably have to be other people that are doing this. And it doesn't always have to be full-time people. It could be really great contractors you bring onto the team and kind of include them in the team too on some things. But really ask yourself, what is the revenue need to be at? How many employees do we have? What is the revenue per employee we want to maintain in our company? What is the profit we would need to have in order to make this work? And also, what's our timeline for this business? And sometimes it just takes a while to get the business to this point. But if you start off with this, you will have a really great idea of what this looks like. And I'll tell you my own example when building this self-managing company. Initially, I was, it's 20 million. This is exactly what we have to do. So it could be completely self-managing and all that stuff. And then I really got specific. What is realistically the revenue? Employees, how many could we do where I could get out of all of the delivery, all of the marketing side of the business, all of the engagement side, getting people to value, all those things. And actually came up with, it was 2 million. And there was a core team of 7 to 8 elite, awesome employees. And as we could do that and just have you in the CEO role for that part. And so when you go through this, it's really fun because you're going to challenge yourself to really see what is actually that realistic version of what this looks like. And it's probably a lot closer than you think if you use that kind of level analogy of what that looks like.
Oh, I love that. That's a huge, I had no idea that that gap was so, went down so low from 20 to 2. That's wild. Yeah. I noticed what I loved. We had all of our students on the coaching call do it, and it was really cool to see everyone put, come up with their four answers to those four questions. So what the revenue would look like, how many employees it would be, the profit and the timeline. And it was awesome because a lot of the companies, they were like, in 2 years, there was one company that was like next year. So it's kind of fun to dream in that respect. And I guess as a founder, I assume that's one of your goals is to, maybe step out from all those other roles too.
Yeah, to have more of that time freedom on stuff. But what this does, one of the core immediate outcomes you're going to get from building this out, because you're probably still wondering, why should I invest time to do this, is it will help you identify what are those next key critical hires. And so when you do that, you're like, actually, we need to hire this specific one because I'm spending too much time on that specific area. And you'll actually know, it's this person first, then this person at that range. And you'll have this step-by-step kind of roadmap for what that looks like for your hiring at the end of this.
Awesome. And in terms of that hiring as well, because this question did come up a lot, because when you do, map out your accountability chart, there are the specialized positions at the bottom. And then the mid-tier is kind of the director of marketing or head of product or whatever. When you are deciding that you need help in a certain area, should you hire for that director level job before you hire for the specialized position?
No. Most times, no. I will give it a caveat as if, depending on what stage your company's at, that's a big if factor. So if you're early stage, since I know most companies listening here are earlier stage in their journey, if you do hire that director, they're going to have to still be the person who can execute, and they can lead and they do both. If you just hire the person who just leads and they don't have a team to lead, that's a very bad situation where you're just going to have somebody you're paying a lot and they're not going to be able to utilize their own skill set really well. And so that's super important. And so I made that mistake myself. And it sucks when you make it, because then you're like, wow, I have this great person. They're super capable, but they don't have the right team or resources to be that effective and make big change based on the way they know how to make big change. And so a lot of times it ends up being, 3 to 6 months of kind of stepping back, and it takes a while to kind of regain that momentum. And so a lot of times when we go through this, if you go through the rest of the product line system, as part of our growth process, what we do is we identify, okay, what is the biggest bottleneck in the business? And then what could be done with the product to grow this business? And so a lot of times it's if we keep hitting up against a specific lever where it's, let's say it's acquisition. Acquisition's always the core lever. And we understand, okay, that is where the 10x opportunity is. Our free to paid conversion rate's really solid. We just need to put more gas on this. It's, okay, we need to hire the specialist for it. Let's say a new channel. Okay, so let's test out that channel first. Let's see, okay, let's try Google Ads. Okay, wow, okay, it worked. Let's hire the Google Ads specialist. And they can take that to the next level. And so that way you're able to apply leverage with that team member. They actually are going into a job that's actually very safe in the sense that it's a proven channel. They can scale it up. There's clear responsibilities and all that versus kind of walking into a position where it's, hey, you're the director to figure out what the hell we do with our marketing. And they're like, God, this is going to be a challenge. And when it doesn't work out in the first 3 months, so, all right, you're out. And it's actually, whose fault was that? And it's the company's. It's not the new hire at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I think that's a really great story. And it always alludes back to what your core belief is that hiring is a last resort in a product company. And I think that rings true here too. Awesome. Do you have any final words for building and designing a self-managing company?
I guess to quickly recap, just one, get really clear on which level are you at today. Two, what is your why behind this? You got to be motivated for this. It should excite you for what does this look like. Three, if you haven't already, go to last week's episode, go through, build out that accountability chart. And four, really get clear on what does your self-managing company look like, map it all out, and get really specific about what does that look for your specific business. And if you want help building out what that looks like for your business, make sure to join us in Product-Led Academy, where we go through, help companies do just this for their company so they can grow faster with less people and have more fun. Hello, everybody. So we have this new program that's kicking off in May. And I'm super excited to tell you more about it because we have gone through this once with a small kind of select group of companies. And the results have been amazing just to see companies getting a lot more clarity, taking action on how they're building a product-led business. So if you're looking to get to 7 or even 8 figures in your self-serve revenue and you're committed, you're serious about actually building a product-led business, this is truly for you. So what this is all about is basically how do we help you get a lot more effortless ARR in your business so you can build a product and sell itself for your business. Two, how can we actually scale the lean way in your business? So how do we build a big business with a tiny team? And the last kind of core outcome of this program is all about durable growth. So how do we scale your profits every single year like clockwork? And so how we do that is really by implementing the product-led system in your business. So there's really three core phases to this madness. The first one is we actually go through and build a solid product-led strategy for your business, where we go through, understand exactly who your ideal user is, exactly what we need to give away for free. We're not guessing. We are truly understanding your users and serving them better. Once we build that strategy, then what we can do is build a world-class go-to-market motion where we look at your ideal offer, make it irresistible. We make it effortless to sign up, get to value, upgrade in your product, make it really, really easy to build that product that sells itself. And then lastly, what we focus on is how to actually scale this up, where we look at the right data, the right growth process in your business and the team. And so what makes this program super unique is it's not just a bunch of videos. I wish it could be that easy to deliver, but it's not. What we found is best to actually help your team get results, which is all we care about here at Product Led, is this is a team-only program, meaning you can only sign up with your team and yourself. And it's designed that way so you can get everybody on your team to help you implement this, because we truly believe here at Product Led, to build a product-led business, it is truly about involving everybody, change the mindset in how you approach it. So if you want more details, head on over to productled.com/academy and you can join the wait list. And we will be opening up the enrollment for this very shortly for a limited amount of time. So please head on over to there if you're interested, because this cohort kicks off beginning of May. Hope to see you in the program.